So some of you will know that just over a week ago, I visited a place called Teze, which is an ecumenical monastic community in the middle of rural France. And I went there on pilgrimage with 25 teenagers from Trinity School. It's fair to say that urban Lewisham meets monastery in rural France was interesting, she says, in inverted commas. I can tell you more over coffee. The teenagers were wonderful, I hasten to add. But I've not been to Teze before. I'd heard about it. I'd sung music from Teze. But going there gave me an opportunity to understand a little bit about how and why it came into being as this ecumenical community. And at the heart of Teze is a vision for a community of peace and reconciliation. And that vision emerged during the Second World War when the founder, a man called Brother Roger, offered shelter to refugees who were fleeing the German occupation of France. And amongst the people that he offered shelter to, there were also Jews who were fleeing persecution. As time went on, the group of brothers that were there met together on Sundays for worship, and then they began to welcome German prisoners of war who were interred nearby to their services on Sunday. So you then had a community where there were people who'd been displaced because of war, there were Jews who'd been part of the community, and there were German prisoners of war coming into worship. In the 1960s, the community had grown to such an extent that they needed a larger church building other than the farm buildings that they'd begun in. And so they built the Church of Reconciliation. And interestingly, it was built by a group of young German volunteers who gave their time as reparation for the wrongs that were done during the war. It was the idea just to give people that chance to do something to make amends. When the church was finished, and it was designed by one of the brothers who was an architect prior to joining the group of brothers there, it transpired that the church was far too big for their needs, and they weren't sure how they would ever fill it, probably much like many Victorian churches in this country. 50 years on, and the church has been extended on three sides. Imagine a very large church and three enormous barns basically bolted on to three sides, such that it now seats 3,500 people, albeit on the floor, which is novel for the first 48 hours, and then jolly uncomfortable if you're over 40. Most of them were teenagers, and their hips are fine. But there are now 100 brothers that live at the heart of the Teze community. They come from 30 different nations, and worship is conducted in multiple European languages. I loved listening to the Bible in French and going, I've worked out what it is. Brilliant. And they welcome 100,000 teenagers and people in their early 20s every single year on pilgrimage at Teze. Look what happens when you dare to believe that God can fulfill a vision. This morning we've heard a reading from Ephesians chapter 3, and it's often subtitled in the Bible, A Prayer for the Ephesians. And it's important that we understand the context in which this prayer was prayed. And if you were here last Sunday to hear Sarah preach, then it follows on from what she was talking about last week. Because Paul, the writer to the Ephesians, has just set out God's vision for the church. And like Teze, it is a vision of peace and reconciliation, where people from different backgrounds, in this case Jews and Gentiles, are united as one in Christ. And it is an audacious and inconceivable vision, as audacious as bringing together German soldiers and Jewish refugees in the same community. This year in church, we have been thinking about our vision. And the words that we've come back to again and again, whether it's at PCC or in our services, is that we want to be a church for all. We want to be a church for all, where all are welcome, all have space to grow in faith, all are called to serve, all find a place to belong, and all reach out. And there are times where in the life of our church, it can feel like the vision at Teze. How will we ever fill it? How will we ever fulfill this vision that we have? Is it really possible to be a church for all? And the simple answer comes in this complex prayer that's prayed by Paul. Paul tells us in verse 14 that he prays to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And it's a way of saying that as Christians, we are all related. Whoever we are, wherever we come from, we share the same Heavenly Father. And then if you comb through this prayer, and it's a very dense prayer, I've spent quite a lot of time this week looking at it really carefully, looking at the images and the words, the clauses and the subclauses, you'll see that actually at the heart of it is something very simple. Because Paul prays that the church will be filled with love. So his audacious, inconceivable vision of bringing together people from opposite backgrounds is to be fulfilled with love. So firstly, he prays that the Ephesian church will be rooted and established in love. And he chooses two images there. The first is a horticultural image of a tree with deep roots. And then the second is an architectural image of building something on a firm foundation. So love like deep roots and love like a firm foundation. I was in the park the other day walking the dog, and I couldn't help but notice that in this hot weather and this period of drought, that many of our trees are suffering. In order for the trees to endure the hot weather, they actually have to have deep roots in the ground so they can draw up water to sustain them and give them life. And Paul prays the same for us. Fulfilling his vision of reconciliation is a challenging, demanding vision, and it requires deep roots in love that we might draw the love of Christ up into us to sustain us when it is challenging. The second thing that Paul prays is that out of our own experience of love, we might grasp the extent of God's love, the height and breadth and depth of that love. He seems to be saying, you know, if we can understand the magnitude of God's love, and it makes me think about standing at the sort of foot of an enormous building, you know, you look up, you can't even see the top of it. But if we can grasp the extent of that love, then we will understand that fulfilling his vision is possible. The two go together. If we get it, how much he loves us, then we'll see what might be possible through that love. Some of you will know that I grew up in the city of Bristol. And the city of Bristol plays host to the International Balloon Fiesta every year. For 3 days in August, 130 hot air balloons fill the sky, balloons of every shape, size, and colour. And our favourite balloons when we were children were the ones that were unusual shapes. So I remember there was a giant bear, there was a beer bottle, and there was a peanut in a top hat. And when I was little, it was before the days of health and safety, and we used to get up very early in the morning, sort of 4 a.m., and we'd go up to the balloon festival site, and you could get right up close to the hot air balloons when they were filling them, so much so that I remember as a child having my hands on the wicker basket, holding it to the ground before it was time to go up. So you were right up close to the burner. But what would be amazing is they would roll out these silk balloons, and they would begin to fill them with hot air. And as they were filled with hot air, they took on shape. You would suddenly see what they were. You'd see the pattern emerge or the shape emerge. You'd see the colour, and then suddenly it would come upright and then lift off the ground. And it was incredible just to see that happen. God has called the church to be this community of reconciliation, a community where all are welcome. And as we are filled with love, the love of God, we're like those hot air balloons. When love fills us up, it's as if we begin to take on shape. People can see who we are and what we're meant to be. All of our colours emerge. It comes to life as we fulfil our purpose. Just that, like that idea of the hot air balloon just being a piece of fabric on the ground and then suddenly taking off and filling us with wonder. That's what happens when the church is filled with love. People just look at us with wonder. As I read Paul's prayer for the church, I find myself asking the question, you know, that's brilliant, but how? How are we to be filled with love? Mainly because I'm aware of my own inadequacy. I'm aware of my own impatience and intolerance. But the answer comes in verse 16. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he, that's Christ, may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So the way to be filled with love is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that Jesus lives in us. As I say, it's a complex prayer, but I've just read through it again and again, and it is as simple as that, that if we're to be filled with love, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Christ, that word dwells, moves in. He moves in and takes up residence. And one of the bits of the prayer that I love is verse 19, where Paul prays that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge. What a great phrase, know this love that surpasses knowledge. But it's a type of knowing that isn't about knowledge or information or learning, nor even wisdom. It's about having that intimate understanding of God's love because Christ is in us. When the church at Teze was built in the 1960s, it was far too big for their needs. I dread to think what the heating bills cost. And yet they believed that God would fulfill the vision for their community. They believed that this place of reconciliation would draw together people of every background, people across differences. And what happened was that God surpassed their expectations. They didn't just fill the church, they extended it on three sides. And at the end of his prayer, Paul says this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power," that's not our power, but his power that is at work within us, "to him be glory in the church." And as we think about vision for our own church, about being a church for all, do we believe that God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine? Is it possible that God might exceed our expectations for this place and for St. Peter's and for our community? The key to fulfilling an audacious, inconceivable vision is to be filled with love. And the way to be filled with love is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's keep praying that that might happen here and that that might happen in us, because I find that an empowering prayer. It's not dependent on my hard work and on me being a really good person. It's dependent on me being open to God and being open to his love filling my life. And who knows, maybe like Teze, we'll need to extend our church to fit everybody in, because we've got a big space out the back and we've got a space down the side. And we've got a space at that end as well. And there are probably a whole load of other sites in this parish as well. Who knows? Amen.